Rich Kimble, Carrie Haskell with you. And on the telephone, what day is this? Not Tuesday. So this is bonus. This is like icing on our radio cake. Writer Colin Fleming joining us. Hello, Colin.
Friday Fleming, F squared, baby.
I love it. Man, twice the Colin, twice the awesomeness. I want to talk some hockey with you this afternoon. You'll be with us for a conversation about the terrific new movie, The Russian Five. But first, let's talk about last night and the Boston Bruins. The knee-jerk reaction from a lot of folks is, well, it's the officials. The officials stole that game from the Bruins last night.
Well, knee-jerkers, I hate to say this to you, but you are wrong. The officials have stolen nothing from the Boston Bruins thus far. I think it's funny that Craig Berube, ex-goon of all people, is now considered the Pied Piper of the Zebras, right? He has this amazing influence. He's Gargamel. Do my bidding, referees. That's not really what I think is happening here. So let's coin a sports aphorism. Good teams make the best of breaks. Better teams overcome inequities. And the Bruins are not a team that's overcoming anything right now, and they are exactly where they deserve to be.
I had the impression last night that all of a sudden it went from this tremendous high, great energy, a buzz that you could almost feel on your TV screen when they introduced Chara in the starting lineup, and then they dropped the puck and the air came out of the place, and of course then, boom, St. Louis scored, the fans went silent, and that was that.
The Chara thing is massively overstated. First of all, he's a defenseman, and he's a guy who at one point in his career lobbied his coach to play the entire game because he's such a fitness freak to see if he could do it. Now, he is not even a skater, basically. He's a positional defenseman. There are three zones of the ice. He occupies one. So rather than the whole emotional boost and all of that rubbish, what matters is actually how you play. And the team, that first line is doing absolutely nothing, and no one says anything negative about Patrice Bergeron, future Hall of Famer, two-way center. He's invisible. Pasternak, he needs to be taken off that line. Marchand needs to be unleashed as the Ken Linsman-like pest that he is, because what is happening right now is these Blues have taken the page book from the 2011 Boston Bruins, and they are getting away with whatever they want to get away with, and no one is just cudgeling someone in the throat, which is what needs to happen. And the goalie, you need more from the goalie. He stole a period in the Carolina series, that first game on the road. But when I saw that wraparound goal after the blowout, so that was what, game four, 46 seconds into the game, a goalie should never let in a wraparound. That's concentration. It's focus, it's being engaged in the game. And I think after they cakewalked their way through that one lopsided game, that they became fat cats. And now they've had two times when they've been up in the series, they could have stepped on the throat, but they said, no, please, get off the mat. We'll relax. We want to win our cup in a leisurely way. And now they're in trouble.
So what can they do? What do they need to do in St. Louis?
They need to move forward from the whole referee thing. They need to engage physically. They need to get some chippiness into their game. They need to break up that first line. They need to move Backes up to the first line to create some space with Bergeron and Marchand. They need to play Coyle more. They need to take away some of Charlie McAvoy's ice time the way he's been playing. And your goalie needs to steal you a game. This St. Louis goalie is so beatable, and they're just letting him get off too easily. Put pucks on the net. Charge him after the whistle. The referees have swallowed the whistle. You can do what you want to do, but you need to get physical and you need to goon it up a little bit. Play tough.
There you go. Colin Fleming letting the Bruins know what needs be done as they move on to game six. Well, next hour we'll be joined by filmmakers Joshua Reel and Jenny Fatarovich to talk about their documentary, The Russian Five. And we wanted you to be a part of this because, you know so much about hockey, but I know you have a particular affinity for the Russian players.
I do. I really love the Russian and before that, the Soviet game. And I think, too, that my favorite North American players, like Wayne Gretzky, took a lot from that Russian game, that style of puck possession and bobbing and weaving. It's very balletic. And yet that history of Russian hockey is crossed with tragedy. And it's crossed with careers that make you wonder about really how good certain players are, because we in North America only saw them on the international stage, the Canada Cups in 81, 84, 87, and 91, and at the Olympics. And so we're not really sure how some of these players, their games would have translated to the NHL, and we don't really see it until kind of the second wave of Russian players coming over with Sergei Fedorov, who is in this documentary, less so the first wave of players with the members of the Green Unit, Vladimir Krutov, Larionov, and Fetisov, the defenseman. And so it's a very fascinating style of hockey. I don't think Canada was ready for what the Russians had for them going all the way back to 1972. And it's just a style of hockey that's very, it's like a supernova style. It's very exciting. It remains very exciting. And people like Alexander Ovechkin, and I find that lineage fascinating.
Well, and the fact, too, that the knock on those Russian players, well, there were two, generally. Number one, that they weren't physical enough and couldn't handle the physical play, and also that, for whatever reason, maybe they didn't care that much about the Stanley Cup.
Right. And even after their careers, you see interviews where the Russian players were saying that the Olympics meant this to them, that kind of thing, and the Stanley Cup is very much North American conceit. I think you can get embroiled in the hubbub of what the Cup means in this country. I think sometimes the Cup is overstated because of the nature of the chalice itself, its actual physical presence. But that's one of the... There were certain other things about the Russians that they didn't care about face-offs, which is kind of funny because their entire game was predicated on possessing the puck, and that they wouldn't pull their goalie, which was just a kind of obduracy that, I don't know, it's kind of cheeky. I enjoy it. But if you watch something like the 1987 Canada Cup, which involves two of the players who are in this documentary, you could do things back then that would be felonious right now. You think what you're seeing from the St. Louis Blues is tough guy hockey. You could take your stick and you could just abrade someone relentlessly with it. You could do whatever you wanted to. You could slash people. There was no slashing or hooking so long as you kept your feet moving. And the Russian players, Soviets at the time, they more than gave it back to that Team Canada, which had no problem with physicality. So I think that's a myth more than anything. And the players, when they got on NHL teams, they weren't stars at that point. They were role players. They were third-line guys. They were second- or third-line defensive pairing. They were glue guys who, ironically enough, brought toughness until we get to, of course, the likes of Sergei Fedorov. Then we're getting that cometary superstar presence.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk more about that in the next hour as we discuss this documentary, The Russian Five. And as somebody who was never a fan of Claude Lemieux, I enjoyed revisiting his comeuppance in the film.
Claude Lemieux did score a boatload of playoff goals right now, and the Bruins, we're just talking about, need a Claude Lemieux-like performance. A guy who, yes, he got his comeuppance, but I wonder sometimes, too, what comeuppance really means in the grand scheme of things. Like, what would that necessarily mean to Claude Lemieux? I think Claude Lemieux is probably pretty happy with the way his hockey career shook out, given that he wasn't the most talented guy. And don't forget, he had a role in international hockey, which you never think of him as a superstar-type player, but it's a fascinating story, and what's fascinating about these players is that they are among the few athletes, professional athletes, where I can think you can say that their story is what transcends anything they could have done on the ice. Their lives, in some way, is the sport, more so than what was actually done between blue lines, you might say. So they were pathblazers, and it did not work out well for other guys who tried to make this move to North America, including one of Larionov's teammates, Vladimir Krutov, who essentially drank himself to death. So it's a very star-crossed story and a very inspiring story, and there's a lot of fun hockey stuff that goes along with it, too.
All right, more to come after the break in CBS News. We talk about the Russian Five.